Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I'm delighted to introduce my guest this evening. Riley Gaines is probably the name that you know her by, but she's now a married lady, and she is delighted to be a married lady, and we're happy for her. Speaking as a longtime husband, I am so grateful for God's design of family. He made us male and female. And he said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one." That was God's design. And folks, it has not changed. Now, our guest this evening is someone who is standing up for not just biblical values, but reality. And so, Riley, thank you for coming on the broadcast. Please share a little bit with our listeners about how you got into this controversy, because it wasn't something you went looking for, was it?
No, it certainly was not something that I went looking for. It's still not something that I look for. But really, how I got here, I graduated from University of Kentucky last year with every intent upon going to dental school after graduation. I had already accepted my seat. I put my deposit down. I thought that was what was next for me. But I realized the quickest way to make God laugh in your face is to make plans for yourself, because he very clearly had different plans for me. And so I competed. I swam my entire life. Mm-hmm. When I was 4 years old, all the way through college, when I graduated at 22. And so I spent 18 years of my life swimming. I had accomplished some pretty amazing things throughout my career. I was a 12-time All-American, a 5-time SEC champion. I'm actually the SEC record holder in the 200 butterflies still. Olympic trials, SEC scholar athlete, SEC community service leader. I was really proud of my career. But it wasn't until my senior year, our national championships, which was in March of 2022, that really prompted me the platform that I have now, because that national championships, we were forced to compete against a male, who was formerly Will Thomas, now goes by the name Leah Thomas, who ranked 462nd the year prior to competing against the women, at best in the nation when competing against the men, but naturally went to become a national champion when competing against the women, beating out Olympians and American record holders and the most impressive female swimmers this world has ever seen by body lengths. And so Thomas and I raced in the 200 freestyle, and almost impossibly enough, we tied. So we went the exact same time down to the 100th of a second, which is pretty rare in swimming when you're racing for a minute and 40 or so seconds, and you go the exact same time with not even 1/100th of a second separating you. But we get out of the water, we go behind the awards podium, and the NCAA official looks at both Thomas, who is 6'4", and myself at a whopping 5'5", 5'6". And the official looks at both of us and says, "Great job, but you guys tied. And we only have one trophy, so we're going to give this trophy to Leah. Sorry, Riley, but you have to go home empty-handed." Mm. I was so taken aback by this. And I asked the question that no one dared ask all season. And I said, "Why?"
Right.
I know we tied. I know there's one trophy. But why are you adamant on giving this trophy to Thomas? And I actually appreciate his honesty, because he said to me, "Well, we've been advised when pictures are being taken that Leah has to have the trophy. Riley, you can pose with this one, but again, you have to give yours back." You go home empty-handed. Leah takes the trophy home. End of story. And so that is really the point when I realized that I couldn't continue lying, because I was lying to myself. We were lying to each other. Mm-hmm. And we knew what was happening was wrong. We mm-hmm. knew the unfair competition was not right. We knew the locker room was wrong. We knew the silencing that we were dealing with was wrong, mm-hmm. but we cowered. But it was in that moment that really it pushed me over the edge, when they reduced everything we had worked our entire lives for down to a photo op to validate the feelings and the identity of a male at the expense of our own. Mm-hmm. That's when I decided I was going to take a public stance and acknowledging how this is harmful to women, harmful to objective truth, harmful to biblical truth.
Amen. Well, and in the time since then, you have proved yourself a very persistent and articulate and faithful and courageous proponent for, again, what I would say is reality. Not only is it a biblical perspective, but it is the obvious fact that even some atheists, some famous atheists, are now saying, come on, this is just ridiculous. There is no way that this can be defended scientifically or sanely. And no. Yet it has become the religious dogma of the left. And I know people that I care about who feel passionately about this. One fellow wrote to me recently and he said, I will be damned before I allow these wonderful people to be spoken of in condescending terms. And I thought, well, actually, that probably is true. You will be damned if you continue to shake your fist in the face of God and say, the Creator does not get to decide what's real. Our feelings are going to decide. And our job as compassionate people is to defend the feelings of these confused individuals that we dare not call confused because we don't want to hurt their feelings. And I mean, I've talked with people. I mean, I've been sought out by a fellow who had gone to Thailand and had the surgery before it was fashionable and then came to faith and said, you know, what do I do now? I am so sorry. I was so wrong. I was arrogant and determined to have my own way, and it doesn't satisfy, et cetera. So I feel compassion for people who are caught in this psychosis, but it is mental illness. And just as you don't love a person who is anorexic by saying, sure, we'll help you lose weight, you do not love a person who has gender dysphoria by saying, yeah, I think you're right. You're a what? Oh, a woman. Okay. Now, Riley, you experienced this before that moment that tipped things for you. You said, you know, we knew this was wrong. We knew this was wrong. We knew this was wrong, but we were quiet. You were encouraged to be quiet, weren't you?
Certainly. college campuses, institutions, universities, the direction that they're going is, for lack of a better word, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. We were told that, you know, we would never get a job if we spoke up. We would never get into grad school. We would lose all of our friends. You would lose your scholarship and your playing time if you chose to take a stance. We were told that we couldn't take a stance because our school had already taken our stance for us. When we were concerned about the locker room and mm-hmm. sent an email to the administration, and I swear to you, I have a screenshot of their response. The administration responded back with, if you feel uncomfortable seeing male genitalia, here are some counseling resources that you should seek in an attempt to re-educate yourself. That's what they told us.
Yeah.
They told us that if we did speak out, and any harm whatsoever were to come towards Leah's way, whether that was physical, mental, emotional, through social media, mm-hmm. whatever harm that looked like, They told us that we would be solely responsible and that we could potentially be murderers if Thomas were to harm himself in any way. They told us if we spoke out, we would be a murderer. And then they would further gaslight us by saying, and you don't want that, do you?
Right.
Of course not. Of course not. You would want to be a murderer. Mm-hmm. But that's what they were making it equivalent to. And being a student athlete during the time of COVID as well, mm-hmm. it's the same tactics that they use. They told us that if we didn't get the vaccine, we would be hurting other people. And you don't want to hurt anyone else. You won't be able to play if you don't get the vaccine. You won't be able to travel. You won't get into the grad school you want to get in if you don't get it right now. And I'll tell you what, that's the first time I really learned to stand up for myself to authority figures, because during that time of COVID, which that was my sophomore year, so 2 years prior to the Leah Thomas thing, I said, no, you can't make me get that vaccine. And it's not because I'm some anti-vaxxer or anything like that, but it's because it didn't feel right for me at the time. And now I'm glad I didn't. And I don't think it will ever feel right for me at the time to get that vaccine. But that was the first time I learned to stand up for myself. But the exact same tactics they used during COVID are the exact same tactics we saw our universities use to keep us quiet surrounding all of the Leah Thomas lunacy.
Well, and those are the same tactics they're going to continue to use in order to try and have control over every individual and every community and every institution and every business and every country.
Because you're right.
This is ultimately about world domination. And that's
right.
Not conspiracy. That's obviously the fact of what's going on. This has been orchestrated from the start. And I'm not paranoid and I'm not fearful, because I read about this a long time ago in scripture. I know how this turns out. And it's not pretty for the world, but it's wonderful for God's people. So I'm not afraid, but I've already read the script. I know how this goes. And I thank God for people like you, Riley, who came to the point of saying, I don't have to go along with this. I don't have to do what I'm being told to do. I can speak up. I can tell the truth. Telling the truth keeps you from being a liar, which is so similar to Leah's name that it's astounding. Just missing the R. It's just sad. This is self-delusion, and it is rampant throughout every aspect of society. God's truth is what sets us free. And I'm so grateful that some people are actually waking up and regaining sanity and embracing truth, including people who were transgenders.
Totally.
Who went through this, who are now saying, don't do it. Countries that were allowing children to receive what they call gender-affirming care and are now saying, no, this is not safe. So you've got liberal, irreligious countries like Norway and the UK who are waking up and saying, oh, okay, no, this we shouldn't allow this for children, because the people who've been advocating for it are not telling the truth about the science.
Absolutely.
Riley, you have begun the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. I am, first I want to express my gratitude for the Leadership Institute. They do really phenomenal work, and I couldn't be more excited to work alongside them. But really what the Riley Gaines Center is, it's something that I wish I had when I began to speak up and when I faced the humiliation of competing and changing in a locker room with a male, and the optics of giving away our trophies and our scholarships and our podium spots and our titles and our opportunities away to a male, with us being collateral damage in the process. Mm-hmm. What this center will do, it will train and inspire leaders. We need campus leaders, we need community leaders, we need national leaders, we need school board leaders, we need more leaders who feel emboldened enough, who feel empowered enough to speak the truth. And I know they're out there. I know the majority of people think how I think. And I know this because I have those conversations. The amount of messages that I get privately on a daily basis from elite athletes, from coaches, from medical professionals, from politicians who know this is wrong. They know that this is unjust. They know that it goes against what they actually believe, but they're willing to throw their moral compass and what they know to be right out of the window to cave to the woke fads and trends of today. Mm-hmm. And so we need to get those people willing and able to speak up about this, because truthfully, silence is complicity. Mm-hmm. That's how we've gotten to the point that now where we're denying the most basic of God's truths, which is man and woman. Mm-hmm. That's how we got here, is because we've been silent for too long. And we've allowed this radical minority to take over the public square. And so what the center will do is equip and train people so we can take back that public square, and take back reality, take back sanity, as you mentioned. And just as you said, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because I know we have enough common sense Americans to know that this is happening, or what is happening is wrong. And I'm hopeful because, just as you mentioned, we're fortunate enough to know the outcome. We don't know how long we have to endure this and how long we have to go through the craziness, but we know who wins and we know we're on the winning side of this issue.
Amen. Amen. You know, I believe firmly that the demonic agenda behind trying to get children to go this route, when we heard our president, Biden, saying that children as age 8 and up ought to be able to decide for themselves about their gender. What that is doing, as people, and there are people who are embracing that, and school systems that have embraced that, they're starting younger than age 8, actually, to try and encourage kids in that direction. All of this is a demonic thing that's pushing to lay the groundwork, not on the part of people who even realize what they're doing, but the demons know what they're up to. And what they're pushing for is to lay the groundwork for widespread pedophilia.
Because
if a child is viewed by society and by the courts and by the medical profession as being able to decide for themselves about sex, then the pedophiles are able to say, hey, it was consensual. The child wanted this. And the fact is, pedophilia is already a huge problem in our culture. And it's only getting worse with the sexualization of everything and everything for kids. And you've got corporations like Disney that are pushing to try and get children to think in terms of changing gender. And when that is the current in our land, it's laying the groundwork for children to be available to pedophiles. And legally, if it's consensual, hey, there's no question about whether or not it was okay. That is straight out of the pit of hell. And those who recognize right from wrong have got to be willing to stand against it.
No doubt. And to your point of this being about pedophilia, I have seen that become more and more prominent day by day. Mm-hmm. It's now included in Pride Month, is where we're including maps. And I was so confused. I'm like, what is a map? But it's a minor attracted person, which mm-hmm. is their frou-frou cutie way to say a pedophile.
Yes.
And now we are honoring them during Pride Month. Something else I've seen is we see these men who are taking female hormones, and they're on hormone replacement therapy and estrogen and all kinds of different hormone cocktails. Mm-hmm. And these men are breastfeeding infants.
Right.
It's like, this is this poor child, that's sexual abuse of this child, that's using this child as some form of this erotic prop to fulfill your fetish. And in any other case, a few years ago, at least, this man would be sentenced to jail, prison. But yes, now they're not punished. They're encouraged. It's celebrated what they're doing. And that's really, really chilling. That's disgusting. It's perverse.
Yeah. And God sees all of this, and he has promised that there will be an accounting. It's not as if, you know, well, nothing ever happens. That has been the chant of everybody from the Nazis to Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, all the way back. There is no question that the human heart has always been wicked. And the wonderful thing is that we not only know that God will judge, but we know that God has provided a way of salvation, so that no matter what a person has done, if you come to Jesus and repent of your sins and trust him for salvation, you can have not only forgiveness, but a brand new life. And that is the message that compassion offers. It's not, you know, well, to hell with you. There are a whole lot of people running headlong toward hell. But our job is not to say, you go, baby. Our job is to say, repent, repent. Because the message of repentance is a message of hope. It says you can change, not genders. You can have a whole new life and be the man or woman of God that you were created for.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love how you use that word compassion. And I constantly refer back to the term of true love and what that really means. And those terms are synonymous. It is loving to say the truth. True love. That's what love is telling the truth. To lie to anyone, to affirm anyone's delusions, is not compassionate. That's not inclusive. That's not kind or accepting or tolerant or welcoming or any of those things. What those terms are telling the truth. And I couldn't agree with you more. We have a God who loves. Of course, we have a God who loves. We have a God who loves all. But we also have a God who hates sin. And Amen. We have a God who made man and woman. And our God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
And it's our job here on this earth as Christians, which the amount of time we spend on this earth is a blink of an eye. But it's our job while we're here to spread his word and to Amen. Share his message. So I can only hope that I continue doing that. That's every night I pray for strength and wisdom and direction, and just praying that he continues to have his hand on me, his hand on this fight, so we can preserve reality and, as you mentioned, preserve God's biblical values and truths.
Amen. Riley, thank you so much. We appreciate what you're doing. We look forward to people being able to look to the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute and say, I need help. I've thought I was just going to be an athlete or a teacher or what have you, because this is what you're doing is not just for athletes.
No.
It's for people who are facing this tidal wave of falsehood.
Absolutely.
And I thank God for you. I thank God for your witness. And I pray his blessing on you.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. It's not very often in this space, especially the political realm, that you get to dive into the faith aspect and just how important it is. But that's what this battle, that's the entirety of this battle. So I appreciate it a lot.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.